In the past few months, we've heard a few stories which have something of darkness about them. Even the ambiguous nature of the UFOs over Aldborough have something of the terror that comes from not knowing the motivations of the unearthly visitors. And the less said about the grisly fate of Robert Goodale in the last episode, the better. Perhaps what we need is a holiday. It is summer, after all. Now, the more old-fashioned traveller may wish to pack a guidebook, rather than relying on the information on the internet. These books are one of the oldest in history. For better use for a book than to allow the traveller to survive and thrive in a strange land. However, they also have power, and can be put to darker uses, as we shall see today as we go back to the summer of 1942, when the lights were going out all over Europe. My name is Richard Shepherd, and this is Hallowed Histories. The Baedeker Guide had been a staple for middle-class travellers since the early 19th century. These stylish, cloth-bound little red books listed the best places to go and all the things to see for the tourist abroad. Places of special interest were marked with an asterisk, leading to the star rating system so beloved of websites and automatic emails continually asking us for feedback. Countries unknown to tourists were opened up by the Baedeker Guide to a degree never experienced before. However, the downside of information is the degree to which that information can be used for the worst. During the 1930s, the countries of Europe, and later all over the world, began to view their neighbours with suspicion and concern. Information on a different country, such as where the seat of government was, or even where the location of military bases were, was freely available through the nearest Baedeker guide. And when the Blitz rained down over large cities in the United Kingdom in 1942, targets were chosen for strategic reasons, which is to say military, but also for psychological reasons. The tourist landmarks touted in Baedeker showed what a country valued most, or was most inherent to its view of itself, and by targeting places like St. Paul's Cathedral, York's Guildhall, or Exeter Cathedral, the Luftwaffe intended to target the spirit of a nation, as well as its infrastructure. East Anglia was not spared in these raids, which came to be known as the Baedeker Blitz. The guidebook had proved invaluable in not only helping to target the areas to be bombed, but also in prioritizing targets. Gustav Braun von Stumm, a German propagandist, claimed that one of the objectives of the raids was to destroy everything which had a 3-star rating in Baedeker's guide. Norwich was selected as one of these targets. It had suffered bombing earlier during the war, certainly, but those were often low-level assaults without much purpose other than to drop a bomb where one could be dropped. The real targets were the surrounding airfields that peppered Norfolk, from where the RAF and USAF squadrons could be launched for missions over the channel. The Baedeker raids changed all of that, with military targets exchanged for cultural ones, and in April 1942, the attack on the city of Norwich began in earnest. On the first night, thousands of incendiary bombs fell on the city, along with around 160 high-explosive bombs, which ripped through the historic buildings and turned the streets into a firestorm. Cayley's chocolate factory, an East Anglian icon, was gutted by the fire. Attempts to quell the flames were hampered by the high-explosive bombs which had penetrated deep enough into the earth to sever the water mains. 30 members of Cayley's own fire service laboured through night and day to get the fire under control, and it was only until a week later that only embers remained where once the factory stood. Cayley's had been world-famous for providing so-called marching chocolate to the troops in the trenches during the First World War. But now it seemed that this new type of warfare, designed to wear down a whole country rather than an opposing army, had done for it. 2 nights later, when the fires from the first raids were still flaring up, the Luftwaffe hit again. This time St. Julian's Church on King Street was hit. This church, as you may remember from earlier episodes, was where the mystic Julian of Norwich was sequestered, and where she experienced what she described as revelations of divine love. The building's history and its sacred nature to the people of England did not save it, and the nave was gutted by fire. More damage was avoided by quick-acting members of the Fire Guard, of whom 15,000 Norfolk people had registered to take part. There are a lot of stories of bravery of the people of Norwich over those 2 nights. The worst nights for attack the city was to know at that point, but unfortunately the cost was great. Over 200 people lost their lives in the Baedeker raids, and thousands more were injured. St. Julian's Church was rebuilt, not until 1953, and Cayley's did march back into business, but only until it was bought up by Nestle. What was more important was that the people of Norwich now knew what the worst could be, and knowing such, they could prepare for it. After those nights in April, historic buildings were banked with sandbags to mitigate damage, and the fire patrols were doubled, focusing on those places that the people of the city held so dear. Chief amongst these was the three-star Baedeker Trophy, the Anglican cathedral and the picturesque close it sits in. Baedeker had deemed the cathedral Norwich's chief object of interest, and it therefore became that to the Luftwaffe. It had been untouched in the April bombings, breeding a fear that the bombers would be back to finish the job. And in June of 1942, they came back to do exactly that. This came to be known as the Hellfire Raid, three Luftwaffe bombers dropping the greatest concentration of incendiaries and high explosives yet. Norwich Cathedral was their target, but the fires that spread throughout the city claimed also Bonds, a historic department store with a thatched roof that blazed into the early hours of the dawn, as well as many other historic buildings dating back to the 17th century. Cobbled streets that had been laid for centuries earlier became rubble, and wooden beams became flaming shrapnel. Later, only 5,000 homes out of 35,000 in Norwich could claim to be untouched by the devastation. And as to Norwich Cathedral, whose ancient spire stands out like a beacon in the flatlands of Norfolk, earning it the highest rating in Baedeker's, it was by some miracle and little planning spared. 850 incendiary devices were dropped on the cathedral and its cloisters. However, the fire watchers, who had been on guard ever since the raids earlier in the year, were fast and effective, putting out the flames before they could spread. And the cathedral itself proved to be as tough as well, for all its 900 years. The brick and stone shell that had stood for centuries proved stronger than bombs, and when the dawn finally broke and the all clear was sounded, the spire still stood. The three bombers who had caused so much damage that night were shot down returning to base, and Norwich was never attacked again in such a fashion. However, the people who lived through it would never forget it, and the scars on the city can still be seen if you know where to look. And as to the Baedeker Guide, a simple travel guide that had been turned into a map of war, it suffered its own ironic fate. The headquarters of the company, in Leipzig, was bombed to the ground by the RAF in 1943. Thank you for listening to the Hallowed History Podcast with me, your host, Richard Shepherd, with research by Dr. Linda Shepherd and technical wizardry by Stephen Desley Parks. Please feel free to like, subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and wherever you get your podcasts from. And we'll see you again next month. Thank you very much.